guys, welcome back to the Green Tea Podcast. So today we have another episode all about astrology, because the last episode everyone loved the psychological astrology that Emma did. So we have some new forecast coming up. Emma's gonna tell us all about it. Emma, today what can we expect in the skies?
Yes, awesome. So today we're gonna talk a little bit about the eclipse. We just had some eclipses that just passed. We're going to reflect a little bit, share some stories. Grace and I are going to share some stories about what we learned, some things that we might be focusing on. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about the Jupiter in Gemini transit, which is coming up in May. It's, I believe, May 25th, and it will be in Gemini for about a year until June of 2025.
Yeah, so the eclipse just happened. I was outside of my house. I tried to see it, but I don't think New York was that strong. But emotionally, have you felt anything? What were we supposed to feel? A little recap, I guess.
Yeah, sure. So, I think the first thing is that, like, everybody probably will feel, I think, differently. They'll notice where the eclipse falls in their chart will be in different houses. So the areas of life that are impacted might also be different for everybody. But just for a quick recap, the first of the set of eclipses was on March 25th. That was a full moon in Libra, and that was asking us to look at where Libra sits in our chart and to examine any patterns of, say, things like indecisiveness because you are over prioritizing other people's needs or opinions over your own. It could be an excess focus on vanity or beauty or some type of outer attribute instead of honing that quality within. It could also be, I guess superficiality is sort of what I meant around the way of vanity, but classic people pleasing as well is something that we're called to look at. This idea of Libra being a sign that's very, it's very good at understanding the needs of other people. It's very good at picking up what other people might need, even if other people don't necessarily recognize that. They're good at being able to fill in the gaps and create a dynamic of reciprocity and balance. But due to that quality, they also can sometimes overgive to others. And it leads to an imbalance in the relationship where now there's no longer an equal give and take or equal reciprocity. And one person is either giving too much or taking too much from the other. So in this case, by the way, you could be either person. Like, you may find yourself being the person that's constantly overgiving and maybe needs to work on upholding boundaries. Or you could be the opposite, where you find yourself, you know, if you're being honest, looking and realizing, oh, like, I'm kind of engaging in a little bit of opportunistic behavior, right? Where maybe, you know, oh, I'm with this person or I'm friends with this person or whatever because I know I can get something from them. And it's not to say that there's always something wrong with that, because some things in life can be transactional. But when it comes to Libra, because there is an emphasis on building relationships, we want to be careful about bringing transactionality into certain relationships that we have, because we want to be building relationships that are truly based on connection, you know, connection and collaboration and genuine interest, not simply transaction. But of course, there can always be exceptions, right? So that's what we were all called to release. Again, looking at the house that it's in will tell you which area of life you may experience this. And then the total solar eclipse that happened in Aries was on April 8th. It just passed. And that called us into looking at where we can embody more Aries qualities and take more initiative in our life, be more bold and enthusiastic about things. The shadows of Aries are things like being overly competitive with other people, always comparing yourself to other people. There's also issues with anger, repressed anger even, or misdirected anger, and a tendency to be maybe a bit, I don't want to say violent for everybody, but even violence could be something that you find here with Aries, violence and aggression. So examining anything maybe that is causing you to behave in those ways. But for the most part, because it is a solar eclipse and solar eclipses are all about welcoming the new, it is really about asking yourself, like, how can you be a better leader of your own life? How can you step into your role as an initiator? How can you take bold action toward that which you want to manifest, right? And again, looking at the house that it's in will tell you what area of life you're noticing probably this this call to step forward in your life. So that's the first, I guess, quick, like, recap on the eclipses and what we were supposed to learn. So I suppose when we talk about oh, what did I learn? You could look at it from what did you learn about what you need to release? And what did you learn about what you need to move forward in your life? Because the eclipses fall in opposite houses and opposite signs, there will usually be like a connection between the two, or similar themes you might notice in the houses or in the signs. Just to give you a quick example, for me, my sixth house is in Libra, which is what I was called to examine releasing things in, and then my 12th house is in Aries. And one of the things that's common sometimes with like those themes and those signs are like boundaries, right? Like Virgo is all about being of service to other people. That's the sixth house. And Libra, being a sign that can kind of err on the side of like people pleasing, one of the things that I had learned was that sometimes my desire to be of service to others, to be helpful and to be useful, was leading me into situations and relationships, Libra, that were imbalanced because I was over giving and I was giving so much into some of these relationships because I felt this need to be of service to other people, which is Virgo. So that's a behavior that I'm called to look at and to really ask myself, like, what are the boundaries that I have around service, around my own time and my own energy? Do I really have that much to give? Or am I giving this from a place of wanting people to like me or wanting people to think that I'm helpful? You know, oh, I'm afraid that if I don't overgive, they won't like want to work with me anymore. They won't want to date me and whatever the situation is, right? And so that's kind of how the boundary aspect plays in with the Libra. But then for me with Aries, Aries falls in my 12th house. And so one of the things about Aries is in the 12th house is that it can be very like I said, enthusiastic and almost boundaryless. The 12th house of Pisces is boundlessness, right? And Aries is kind of like pushing boundaries. So if you think about the idea of pushing boundaries or not having boundaries, they're both just like all over the place. You know what I'm saying? Like kind of in a sense, there's a lack of clear boundaries in both of those situations because you're either pushing it as far as you can or you just don't have any to begin with, you know? So I noticed that theme of boundaries tying both of those like houses together for me. And that was one of the things that I was really called to look at. So anyway, I feel like I just went on there, but I wanted to kind of highlight just the fact that the opposition, even though it's an opposition, does sometimes bring in similar themes. So yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm a Libra rising, like I said last time, and I feel like relationship was the primal focus. And ironically, I feel like I've been feeling really drained with especially romantic relationships. And I feel really lost. At times, I feel good. And at times, like I feel like I've detached from something I shouldn't have.
At least from an astrological perspective, I do think that if that's something that's occurring like right now, I know that because we're in eclipse season, and generally the way that eclipses work, at least to my knowledge, is that like the energy of the eclipse can still be felt like even up to like a month before or a month after the opening and closing of the eclipses. So even though we just had the eclipse on the 8th of April, like we still may notice like the effects of this for the next month. And there still may be like decisions being made and parts and pieces shifted around until like for the next month, basically. And so with that said, especially if, you know, you're dealing with somebody who is, you know, well, not even scratch that, especially considering that we're in eclipse season, a lot of things are being shifted around. People are making certain decisions that may feel or come off a little bit impulsive or, you know, maybe not like very thoroughly thought out. So I do find that actually kind of interesting. I didn't think about that until you just said it, actually. But I do think like that in and of itself, on like maybe a psychological level, you know, there's some type of psychological component to that that has nothing to do with astrology, really. You know, the way that we understand ourselves and value ourselves and what we can give to another person, how we're used to behaving with other people, and this idea of over-promising and under-delivering, I think is a really common thing that we can see sometimes in relationships where people, you know, they feel that imbalance, right, in their relationships.
Yeah, definitely a lot of lessons to learn there. I know there is something else coming up in the end of May. Can you explain a little bit about that and what would we be feeling depending on our charts?
Yeah, so at the end of May, I think it's May 25th, Jupiter is going to move into Gemini. Jupiter is all about, like, you know, growth and expansion. Some people say luck and abundance as well. And so Jupiter is a benefic planet, and whatever Jupiter touches, it expands in a way. So, and when I say benefic, I mean like positively influences. So like blows something up in a positive way, not necessarily in a negative way. And so when Jupiter is in Gemini, it really underscores the importance and effectiveness of communication and taking a logical approach to things and being curious as a means to growth and expansion and abundance, for example. So basically what I'm saying is we're all going to be called to really think about like how we communicate. Are we asking questions? Do we get curious about things? Leaning into like that mental faculty in order to grow and expand. And that just kind of naturally, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like just naturally that makes sense. Like when you want to grow and learn things, a lot of times we resort to like thinking about it. We ask questions like, I want to learn how to make more money. Okay, what do we need to do about it? We start asking ourselves, like, what do we need to do for that to happen? Like, is it because of my job? Do I need to get a different job? Do I need to invest my money? Whatever the question is, right? It could also be those questions directed inward. So what are the blockages that I have to like making money? What is the thing that's in my way of me reaching my goal right now? So Gemini is also the sign of the twins, and people often tout Gemini as being one of the signs that has a quality of being really multifaceted and being able to multitask. I know that you have that skill for sure. And I think one of the things that we're called to look at with Jupiter and Gemini is this concept of it doesn't have to necessarily be this or that. It can be this and that, right? Now, obviously, anytime that you're going to take on more than one thing, like, of course, there's still an element of, like, boundaries for yourself, understanding what your limits are and, like, how much of something you can handle. I'm not trying to encourage people to just, like, take on a million things just because Jupiter is a Gemini. Like, still use your discretion about it if you don't have the room for it, if you don't have the time or the space. Of course, don't do it. But, you know, people might find themselves in this situation where they notice, oh, there are several things that I want to be doing right now, and I probably could do these, like if I just organize my schedule the right way and put myself into a certain routine or whatever. Jupiter in Gemini is like a time where you might, you might really thrive under that energy and be able to do that. So it's interesting because for you, you have like Sun and Mercury in Gemini, which means that at some point coming up, like Jupiter is going to be touching your Sun sign and your Mercury. And Mercury, by the way, for anybody listening, is at home in Gemini, which is super awesome that you have that placement. I know yours is also not retrograde, which is helpful as well. It means it functions like very optimally. Mercury, the planet of communication, functions very optimally in your chart, which makes a lot of sense, even like with what you do with like work and everything. You're a communicator through and through. So Jupiter is going to be touching your Sun sign and your Mercury. And so it's going to be expanding specifically like your self-expression, which is Sun in Gemini, probably through like this area of communication, and then Mercury, which is the planet of communication. So it's going to expand like things in that area. I don't know, like, I don't know what that means for you. Like, I don't know what, like, if something's going to happen or an opportunity is going to present itself or this and that. But there is definitely a potential for you to experience a lot of growth and expansion through the avenue of communication. And like, I guess since your Sun is in Gemini as well, authentic self-expression. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Hopefully I'll be able to embody more of that Aries energy, because that is something I definitely felt being called to, where I need to step into my own powers, put my foot down and tell people what I actually want instead of, I'm a very passive person. You know, if I go with the flow, you know, if I get the wrong order from the barista or whatever, like I don't really say anything. But I've been feeling less impatient with people, situations. If I don't get something, I don't want to be passive anymore. I just want to say it. Not in a rude way, but in a way where, you know, I let people know, hey, I have my own thoughts. I have my own sword that I'm wielding, and I'm about to use it if you know, cross my line. So, yeah, I've been definitely feeling, and yeah, hopefully some good news will come, more communicatives and collaborations.
What is it that you're afraid is going to happen if you do assert yourself and like whip out the sword and like say what you have to say? Like, what is the fear that you have?
I do feel like I do have a bit of fear of abandonment, where I've always felt like if I say something wrong, he, she is not going to like me, a friend or whoever it might be. You know, the reason why you want to people please is so that they like you. And if they don't like you, that's seen as negative. And I guess I want more friends. I want more positivity. I want to be seen as somebody who is likable and that I can offer something. And I just want to be friendly with people. I guess I am afraid of not being perceived that way.
Okay, everything that you just said is like the textbook, like Libra struggle, you know, like the Libra struggle in a nutshell. It is all about like wanting to be perceived a certain way. And like you just said, like, yes, we people please in some form because like we want other people to like us. But the key there, especially for anybody listening, the key there is that it's not about the other person, it's about us. It's about the fact that we deeply want to be liked by somebody or perceived a certain way, or we deeply desire connection that we fear we will lose if we do not people please in this situation, right? Yeah, I think that's such a reality, I think, for so many people. And I think it's really great that we're talking about it because I think in some form, like everybody has the capacity to do this. Obviously, some people more than others, but like even me, I don't have anything in Libra in my chart, but I definitely struggle with that. You know, I definitely struggle with similar thoughts of, you know, I really want to have friends, or I really want, you know, this, and that. And one of the interesting things that I've kind of come to realize about people pleasing, and this might be an unpopular opinion, and this maybe might trigger somebody. It's 333 as I'm saying this, by the way.
Wow.
People pleasing is a form of unconscious manipulation. I'm trying to be really clear when I say that. I'm not trying to upset anybody, but unconscious manipulation. Most people that are people pleasing are not going around with malice in their head thinking like, oh, I'm gonna get this person. You know what I mean? It's not like that at all. It's like a self-protective form of unconscious manipulation. And so realistically, you know, it's like I am going to show somebody a different version of who I am. I'm not going to just be authentic about it. I'm going to manipulate like my own behavior or way of being. Maybe I'll pretend like I'm okay with this thing when I'm really not okay with this thing. But it's because I really, really, really want them to like me, right? And so there we have what I just said. It's a form of like unconscious manipulation where I am manipulating somebody else into believing that this is what they're going to get, when in reality, I know or don't know that this is actually not who I want to be. This is not the type of person I want to be in this connection, but I feel like I have no other choice if I want to be liked, if I want to be chosen, if I don't want to be rejected, if I don't want to be abandoned. Another thing, right? Another good one. And I think that's something that's really important for us to be willing to face is the fact that, like, yeah, we can sometimes engage in these like manipulative behaviors without even like knowing that we're doing it or without trying to do it. Like I said, it's like I guess 99% of the time, it's not like a malicious thing, people pleasing. You know what I mean? Some people, you know, you could even argue that people pleasing in a form is people pleasing is positive. I don't want to say positive, but the positive aspect to people pleasing, again, is the strength of Libra. It's people who understand that, like, you need to compromise or collaborate with other people. And when you do that, you cannot be the only person getting your needs met in a situation. You know, you need to be accommodating in some form with another person. So it's really just, you know, I guess two sides, the dark side and the light side of the same coin, right? Where, you know, we can really kind of start shape-shifting, like, when we have those fears. And so I think that's, like, I guess if we're digging farther into this, which is a very Jupiter and Gemini or Gemini eighth house thing to be doing right now, is asking ourselves, like, why is it that we feel that we need to do this? And you just said it really well, this fear of abandonment, or this fear that, like, people aren't going to want to be your friend, or whatever the case, if you don't pretend to be somebody that you're not. And at the end of the day, I know that you already know this, of course, we've talked about this many times, you and I, but I think what's really important to understand here is that when you start off relationships setting the precedent that you aren't who you really are, then you attract people who aren't actually aligned with who you really are, because they think that who you really are is what you're showing to them, not who you really are. And so that's, like, really what I think we want to be looking at, is what are the beliefs that I have around connections, and, like you said, like, the people pleasing, what are the fears and stuff that I have? There's also a somatic component to that, right? Like, understanding in your body, what does this fear feel like? Where, when I, like, if I do a body scan, like, where do I feel that fear? Is it in my chest? Is it in my throat? Is it in my, you know, whatever, my stomach, or where, solar plexus chakra area? Just to, like, give an example, I remember that, like, I used to struggle a lot with people pleasing, especially in I still struggle with it, of course, I'm not perfect, but in my relationships. And I would notice sometimes when I would sit and do, like, these body scans, I would always feel, like, a tightness in my throat chakra. And I've always been aware that for me, a lot of times the problem isn't necessarily identifying what is my desire and how do I feel and what do I want that I feel isn't getting met. It's the inability to express that. Okay, so Jupiter's moving into Gemini at the end of May. And so in order to figure out, like, what area of your life is going to be really impacted by this transit, or where Jupiter is going to be transiting, similar to the eclipse, like I mentioned in the last video, you're going to want to look at the houses that Jupiter falls in for you. So just to give a quick example, Grace, I know that Jupiter falls in your, Gemini is in your eighth house. So for you, this transit's going to be occurring in your in your eighth house. And so the eighth house is things like shared resources. It's like merging together, kind of. This is just a random example, but, like, sometimes when people get married, the eighth house involves, like, a merging and a joining of resources, right? Like a home or bank accounts or things like that. So not saying that that's going to happen to you specifically, but that's just an example, right? It's also things like emotional intimacy and vulnerability, and diving beneath the surface, right? So not taking things at face value per se, but diving a little bit deeper into it. With Jupiter being in Gemini, there's probably going to be some aspect for you of using your cognitive abilities to dive deeper into that stuff. Maybe, you know, thinking more about things, or examining your beliefs, or examining, like I said, just the undercurrents of things. You know, for somebody who has Jupiter transiting, like, their second house, that's going to be things like money and material possessions, values, you know, and so you may be called to think more about those things. And, like, what do you value? Are the things that you have in your life aligned with your values? Do you have any blockages around self-worth and self-value in regard to allowing your worth to be determined by how much you own or how much money you have, you know? So yeah, that's just something to look at. Look at the houses that Gemini falls in, and that's where you're going to be experiencing this Jupiter and Gemini transit, and be called to, think more logically about things, get curious, ask questions, and lean into the power of communication, especially for the purpose of, like, manifestation, even, I would say, with Jupiter.
Wow, amazing. So I can't wait for us to update what we've been feeling, what we've been curious about when that time comes. Well, if you guys have any questions, remember to leave a comment down below. Emma is taking personal readings. If you guys want to dive more into this, definitely book a reading with her.
Awesome, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. And I guess we'll see you on the next one.